time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with my co-host, Don Wyatt.
Delighted to be here. We're almost at fall. We're actually seeing the leaves starting to change on some of the trees. It's a wonderful part of the year.
They're about ready to give up the ghost. I think they've had enough of the heat.
Oh, the glass is half full. Come on. They're pretty.
I like fall. I know that they all need a big drink of water. We do still need rain in Oklahoma.
Nothing like raking a lot of leaves to wake you up.
We are broadcasting from the state of Oklahoma, where liberty is still trying to have a toehold.
There's the residues left.
There are. Our website is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. Lots of good information there. A couple of new links. One is the China Connection, and we've got another one on there, healthcare reform and exchanges, and FEMA remapping. We had a little discussion back and forth about what to call that particular link,
right?
Because people may look for FEMA and may not know that,
right?
Flood zone remapping is taking place across,
right,
the United States, and your area where you live may be affected by that, the new map.
Exactly.
It's map modernization is what it's called, map mod.
That's right, yeah.
And you may be negatively impacted by what is happening.
If you're not, your friend is.
Yes.
It's widespread. It's almost ubiquitous what they're doing to impact home ownership.
It is, and you're right. It is an impact on home ownership, because what happens is that your property is appraised. One instance, what went down 50%.
That's right.
Yeah, by being designated Zone A flood.
That's right. And it locks you into added cash flow cost, which are not always easy to accommodate these days.
That's true, because you would have to buy flood insurance from
FEMA.
That's
exactly right. And that flood insurance turns out to be non-trivial in some cases. I used to always hear that flood insurance is really inexpensive. Don't worry about it. You can get it for $129 a year. And if that were still true, I could put it into the same category of my budget where my parking tickets live. But it's unfortunately not quite true. Last time I checked, if I were stuck in the floodplain, which we managed to get ourselves out of, but if I were stuck in the floodplain here in Broken Arrow near Tulsa, it was going to cost a little over $3,000 a year. That adds up. That's a different part of my budget altogether.
$3,000 a year.
Yeah.
See, that could break the budget for somebody who's on
a fixed
income.
Totally. And the goal of it is very simply to replenish the coffers after the catastrophic expenses that they underwent with Katrina. Remember all those trailers that they had parked that they didn't use? Well, those cost money.
They do cost money. Well, your property may be affected by a change in zone designation. So it's really important that you check on the FEMA website, which is FEMA.gov. Click on their flood maps, and then you can put in your address, and it'll pull up the county and the area that you live in, and it'll tell you whether it's Zone A or if it's in the process. Zone A is high risk. Whether it's in the process of having the community that you live in being affected by this map modernization. Mm. The issue is that not all of the maps that are being used to designate you as a Zone A flood are accurate.
That's right.
And that makes a big difference.
Well, in fact, they get fairly arbitrary. We did some great shows on this subject recently. We had some guests on the show, David McLean, who explained the story of a church and some residential property in Skytook.
We call that one the story of three maps.
Exactly. And then we had Margaret Snow, who had some, we call that one something about a farm and a church, I think, over on Boondoggle Blog. But the story of her situation was some property that had been acquired by her father in 1946, had never flooded, never had water problems of any kind, suddenly designated in a floodplain, and nearly cost her the opportunity to refinance or to make some improvements on a land that she owned and wasn't anywhere near any water.
And that one property issue was really interesting because she was actually upland.
That's right.
It was not a downstream position. She was actually elevated.
You'd have to have a new kind of water that ran uphill in order for that to be flooded.
Then there are the maps that your county would have that may not be accurate.
That's right.
Either.
Worst case, we know documented cases where there are two or more maps showing different results of where the floodplain would be with exactly the same date and exactly the same authorized signatures on them. So it's a pretty out-of-control process.
So what you're saying is that the maps don't have integrity.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So it's real important to not just assume that they're correct.
Don't,
you have to challenge the
absolutely.
Maps.
Absolutely. Don't take it at face value.
Don't take it at face value.
And pay attention to the material on OK Safe and also on another blog that I'm involved with called Boondoggle Blog. We have a series of postings on the title FEMA. And if you want to get yourself educated so that you're comfortable fighting this battle, that's a great place to do it. It would save you a lot of weeks compared to what I went through trying to learn about it.
Boondoggleblog.com, and I would recommend that also. And in Oklahoma, we recently had the opportunity to meet with the Attorney General.
We did.
On this very issue. And, Don, you recorded the meeting.
We recorded the meeting, posted kind of a brief narrative about the meeting, and then the actual audio of the entire meeting is there. So you can listen to about 17 of us in a conference room talking to the senior officials from the Oklahoma Attorney General's office, informing them and bringing them up to speed, frankly, on what some of these issues were. But we had a great collection of citizen advocates there that had personal experience and could speak from their personal knowledge, including a contractor up in northern, somewhere near Bartlesville. I've forgotten exactly where
he was. He's a developer.
He's a developer,
that owns
right.
property, and an inch and a half could make a difference whether you are designated Zone A or whatever. The advantage, Don, to people listening to that is that you would hear the anecdotal evidence
exactly.
of what's happening, and it may be similar to your own situation.
Exactly.
So you listen to the story of Margaret Snow and the other individuals who were
right.
there. And
their names are all spelled out on the Boondoggle blog posting article, so that gives you a good way to track them. And if you wanted to find more information about them, we've got some links that people can contact them if they wanted to.
Good information. The state of Oklahoma, we're recording in the beginning of fall in 2011. In 2012, it's going to be the year of water.
That's right.
And the state has been in a five-year examination of the water usage and availability in the state of Oklahoma. And the Oklahoma Water Resources Board is publishing their report, which is available on the Oklahoma Water Resources Board website. Just put that in your search engine, it'll come right up. And you can click on the comprehensive water plan.
That's right.
Anytime the government says comprehensive anything, you need to be really alert
That's right.
to the fact that it's going to impact something that you are doing. And it's all encompassing.
And things that would surprise you. You wouldn't expect intuitively to have those things related to each other.
A pond on your property that feeds your cattle.
Yep.
Exactly. Well water, access to well water, the use of fertilizers on your
rain that falls on your property, it no longer belongs to you. It's
watershed. What the watershed? You're right. Riparian way. All those kinds of things. And like you said, it may be
strange.
Very surprising what you can and cannot do with water that falls on your property.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
All right. Well, we had the water issue, and then we've had what's been going on in the state of Oklahoma is a joint legislative committee that's examining the federal health care law, the impact on the state of Oklahoma. And this past week, the second meeting of this joint legislative committee had its meeting at the Tulsa Technology Riverside campus. And this time, the assortment of guests were those representing the medical providers industry. And I call it an industry because that's
yes,
what it is.
You bet.
The insurance providers sector, those
right.
who have a vested interest in insurance. And then there was also those that are representative from the health insurance underwriters.
Right.
This was a woman named Janet Trotwine, whose offices are in Washington, D.C. She flew in to give testimony at this meeting. And she represents the National Association of Health Underwriters, NAHU. And they are an association that represents the insurance agents and insurance brokers. Now, why they're concerned about this is because the brokers, these are independent people who sell insurance to people one-on-one, right. Their jobs are going to go away under the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and be replaced with navigators.
Navigators with a total of maybe 45 minutes worth of training watching a video.
And who will be available to navigate you to your choice of only four choices, bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. Those are different packaged products of insurance to navigate you toward one of those four based on information that you provide to the navigator. Now, the navigator is an entity that's online.
That's right.
It is not somebody that you can call up. Now, you may call them up, but they will be trained, like you said, to a lesser degree than a real insurance broker, and it's not going to be one-on-one. Well, a navigator could be anywhere in the world. They could be in southern India.
Yeah, and they could speak with a really strange dialect.
Yes, or they could even be an Okie.
They could be an Okie, too.
Whatever
we
it is.
We speak with dialects also, don't we?
Ah, so my family tells me so. It's like, you have lived in Oklahoma long enough. You're sounding like one. Anyway, the point is that they were there as an interest group to protect their job. Now, all those, and by the way, there were representatives from the Chamber of Commerce who are business owners that represent, that are members of the State Chamber of Commerce, all right? So I can tell you that the flavor of this meeting was these people were encouraging the committee, it's a 12-member legislative committee, half senators, half Republicans,
representatives.
You are correct. And a mix of Democrat and Republican.
It's a super committee.
Yeah, it's a kind of a super committee. And their viewpoint was to discuss, you know, whether the state of Oklahoma should create or build its own health insurance exchange.
Right.
The exchange is the subject. And this group of people at the second meeting, guess what their solution was?
Surprise, surprise. You always get the right answer if you ask the wrong question, don't you?
What do you think they recommended, that we build one or we don't build one?
Well, of course they're going to want it built. Who knows why?
Yes, the Oklahoma went in to say, well, one, that build the exchange instead of to let the federal government do it so that it reflects Oklahoma values. Now, Don, what are Oklahoma values? And how would that be reflected?
Once upon a time, I thought I knew, but after watching the way the legislature uses the term the last year and a half, I'm not so sure I know anymore.
Keep in mind that Oklahoma is doing every single thing that the West Coast and the East Coast is doing.
And everything that Obamacare says to do.
Yes. We are creating electronic health records on every single person.
The public keeps voting against it, and the legislators keep implementing it and authorizing its further implementation.
So with that, so don't be fooled by the phrase with Oklahoma values, because you're going to have an assumption in your mind that is different from what the reality is. So the page, the web portal, or whatever it is that's designed, and it will be technology-based, that represents a health insurance exchange, on the front, when you go to that website, it's going to have an Oklahoma flag.
It'll
look like Oklahoma on it, but the back side of it will be all of the standards and interoperability requirements that are dictated by the federal government.
Exactly.
Under the Affordable Care Act, there's some wiggle room, is flexibility for states, right, to develop their own exchange.
Yeah.
And the legislators can say, well, the brokers are going to be the ones that are the navigators, not the navigators online. That's almost a pointless difference, although it does.
Yeah, it's a difference that isn't a difference, because that'll all go away.
I was going to say that. That's exactly right. It's a difference that doesn't make a difference, except that it protects the jobs of a small sector of people, although
temporarily
until everybody's enrolled, and then guess what? You don't need a broker anymore.
That's exactly right.
Because the system will be in place. There will be an electronic medical record on every single person, a health record on every single person, and the guts of the system will be exactly the same as the federal government's implementation.
And you know, even if they could come up with an implementation of this approach that was truly unique to just Oklahoma and truly was consistent with the values of Oklahoma, I still wouldn't like it. That's still public interference. It's not private sector solution.
It's not free market.
And that's not even what they're doing. I mean, even that you can cut them a little bit of good faith slack for, but that's not what's happening.
It isn't what's happening. But there was one presenter, this Janet Trotwine, who offices in Washington, D.C., and who stated during her presentation that she actually spent a lot of time, or has spent a lot of time, representing her organization in Washington, D.C., as the stimulus bill and as the health care reform bill were being discussed and crafted, and her job was to protect the brokers' jobs throughout all of this. That gave her the opportunity to hear the inside scoop of what was actually going on, and she told the committee on Wednesday, she said, and her recommendation was, you better build it at the state level because you don't want the federal government's version of it, because what they're trying to build is like something out of a TV show.
Yeah.
Now, that's how she characterized it. Well, what she means by that is the capability at the federal level to have a federal data hub or a federal data cloud where at their desire they can have and extract access, will gain access to every bit of information about every single person at will.
That's right.
A networked, globally integrated and networked system of systems.
Without regard to HIPAA or any of the other customary privacy
search
concerns.
Warrant, what's a search warrant? We don't need
exactly.
that because it'll be part of, there's two goals at the federal level for healthcare reform across nationwide. And it is, well, what's being created is a nationwide health information network.
That's right.
A network is systems linked to systems. Nationwide, everybody meets the standards.
Interoperability.
And interoperability, which means one computer system can talk to another computer system, even if they are different software programs.
Sure.
All right? So be able to do that, to achieve two goals. One is called patient-focused healthcare. Patient-focused or patient-centered healthcare.
That wouldn't be a death panel, though, would it?
Well, what it is to get the person themselves to use an electronic health record on the Internet. Okay,
sure.
And number two is population health.
That's right.
Population health is dependent on having access to number one's data, which is the patient-centered health information. So the two, and both systems are dependent on everybody having an electronic health record.
That's right. And interoperable, and that's why there's incentives for all the doctors to get on board, and
millions of dollars in incentives for healthcare providers. The goal is to have by 2012 or 2014, 40% of the population has an electronic health record.
Right.
Well, that's a short-term goal. The long-term goal is every single person.
Everyone.
So that's the goal. But so she admitted that they're doing something. And so her solution was that the state do develop a health insurance exchange, when it was like, okay, it'll look like it's Oklahoma on the outside. On the inside, it'll be exactly to the requirements of the federal government, because that's all you'll be allowed to build.
What difference does the color on the web page make? Because the functionality of it is going to be the same, whether we do it according to those specs or we wait for them to do it by their specs.
You're right. And how do we know that those are the specs? Because that's what the grants all say.
Exactly.
And that is why we have a chief information officer, to make sure that any information or communication technology that the state adopts is
compliant.
Compliant.
Exactly.
That's his job. That's why we have a chief information officer.
Exactly.
So,
and you're going to be speaking to the upcoming fourth session of that.
At the fourth meeting on November 3rd, 2011, I will be one of the presenters. I was trying to verify we still have in the fourth meeting to make sure that there's not some sort of all of a sudden, oopsies, we're not going to hear about the technology. But yes, I was told by both the senator and the representative on making the schedules, there will be a fourth meeting November 3rd, 2011 at the Tulsa Technology Riverside campus. We'll have an opportunity to present. I get a whole hour, which is 45 minutes for the presentation, 15 minutes for Q&A at the end, and there will be other speakers there. So it would be an interesting meeting for people to attend.
Absolutely.
regardless, our job at OK Safe is just to tell the truth.
Right.
and create a record, and that's what we're going to do.
And by telling truth, open eyes, hopefully.
Open eyes, if not, at least put it on record.
There's a lot of closed eyes on that committee that we know of personally right now, aren't there?
There are. All right, so that's another thing. Well,
there's other news. There's other interesting news.
Before we get to that other news, I want to tell you, stick around for this. On the second half, we will talk about Oklahoma's new economy for Oklahoma.
Exactly.
And some of these other issues. So, Don, what's your news?
Well, I was just going to say, we're in the middle of a lot of newsworthy things. There's a fast and furious, I guess you could call it a scandal, certainly a bizarre governmental activity that's continuing to emerge. A huge document dump was supplied from the White House, I think, on Friday afternoon after the news cycle was already committed and too late to catch it. So it'll be interesting to see. We have close connections with Arizona. I lived in southern Arizona for 40-some years, and we know other folks that are very tightly connected there. We probably will need to do a show about that in the near future, because now we've got not only this invasion going on, but the invasion is armed with automatic weapons that we provided. It's really a bizarre twist.
Are you talking about Fast and
Furious?
Fast
and Furious, exactly. Another piece, who
dumped the documents?
The White House, I think, dumped emails. There's a huge document dump, hundreds of emails.
Is this like electronic shredding?
No, dumped as in disclosed.
Ah.
That kind of a dump, meaning get it out there, but make sure it's after the news cycle so people won't hear about it in time.
Was it on a Friday?
Friday afternoon, sure. Hmm. On a somewhat sadder note, Steve Jobs, the founder and inventor and primary huckster salesman for Apple, passed away this week. I was one of the late adopters. I've been in technology a long time, and I was a very late adopter. I was never a huge Apple enthusiast, and I know those kind of people do exist, but I have become one. I remember talking to the founder and CEO of Digital Equipment Corporation, a guy named Ken Olson, near the end of his tenure at Digital, and I was complimenting on all of the different thresholds that he had carried that company through, and I was just basically telling him, you know, congratulations, you've really accomplished a lot with this corporation. Digital Equipment Corporation is one that most people that have been around the computer industry will recognize and remember. And he said something very insightful to me. He said, well, the real key will be what happens after I'm gone. And he had watched Wang computers kind of come and go. He had watched Honeywell computers come and go. He'd watched GE computers come and go. And a lot of these companies don't survive the loss of their key founders, the personalities of those guys that formed the organization and established its culture. So I think this will be a significant passing with Steve Jobs. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I saw something on the internet that caught my attention. It said that he was born out of wedlock. He was given up for adoption as an infant, said he had dropped out of college, and so what's your excuse? And I kind of like that. It struck me, though, that he represents kind of part of OK Safe. He represents probably the epitome of the free enterprise side of it, but he certainly didn't have political views regarding sovereignty that we would have been comfortable with. He strikes us and me, anyway, as quite left of center.
Well, his worldview included Buddhist teaching,
yes.
Also, so that would have been a little bit, quite a bit different also.
Exactly. Now, he wasn't we were talking off air before we started, he wasn't the brainiac, kind of a strange geek type guy that you might have expected. I met him in the late 70s, and he came across just as a brash, almost arrogant young kid, but Wozniak, who was the brains behind it, would probably come across a little bit more like what you'd expect a computer geek to be.
But it was a successful partnership.
Extremely, extremely. And Wozniak did some really remarkable things. So they were probably a lot more, they had a lot more impact on technology than Microsoft did from a true believer's point of view, looking at the insides of technology. But certainly it took them a long time to become the largest capitalized corporation in the world. from the value of their stock point of view, Apple is now worth more than Exxon or any other corporation on the New York Stock Exchange.
Well, the technology is part of that new economy. And for their listeners who are not familiar with Don's background, Don was one of the developers of DARPA.
Correct. The Internet. I didn't invent it, but unlike Gore, I actually did work on it.
Long time ago.
Exactly.
Well, not that, I mean, relatively speaking, yeah, it's not a long time ago.
That's right.
But there have been a lot of advances in technology in DARPA. My apologies, Don, but DARPA is pretty scary.
Oh, very.
Our listeners what DARPA stands for.
It's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Organization, and they specialize in inventing tomorrow.
Total information awareness.
Yep.
I want to be like God. All right. Tower of Babel all over again, and we're not kidding. That's the music indicating the end of the first half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. We're going to stick around, and on the second half, we're going to talk about Oklahoma's new economy, and I think we'll have a little reading of the American Minute.
Super.
Do you need to promote your business on the Internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to Internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio@truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio@truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. Are we back? I think we're back.
We're back.
I was grooving to Booker T and the MGs.
That was great. I love it. Boy, that brings back memories.
Can't you just picture yourself in the car driving down the highway with the windows down?
Well, I was picturing myself in front of a really good jazz band, and I was the conductor, I was leading all of the different groups of the portions of the group.
You're so detailed. I was on the highway just grooving.
That was probably a lot more fun.
That was Booker T and the MGs, and the song was Time is Tight. And the title is appropriate, even though the song may not sound...
It sounded too upbeat for what I'm feeling.
We ended the first half by saying, the government, we're talking about DARPA, and I wanted to just read a headline and a little bit of an alert here. This was sent to me on my text message, my phone this morning. It's like a great way to have a first morning. It says FBI to launch nationwide facial recognition service. And this appears on nextgov.com. That's nextgov.com. That's one of their headlines, top story. Yep. And here it is. The FBI by mid-January will activate a nationwide facial recognition service in select states that will allow local police to identify unknown subjects in photos, bureau officials told NextGov. The federal government is embarking on a multi-year $1 billion overhaul of the FBI's existing fingerprint database to more quickly and accurately identify suspects, partly through applying other biometric markers such as iris scans and voice recordings. Now, Don, have you had your irises scanned?
I actually have, and
we had an Oklahoma driver's license.
Exactly.
You have had your iris scanned.
Yes, we have. We've had our biometric facial recognition photos taken as well.
It goes on to say in this article on nextgov.com, often law enforcement authorities will have, quote, have a photo of a person, and for whatever reason, they just don't know who it is. But they know this is clearly the missing link to our case.
We need to be more serious, but that sounds so absurd.
It makes you cry. Missing link, said Nick Megna, a unit chief at FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division. The new facial recognition service can help provide that missing link by retrieving a list of mug shots ranked in order of similarities to the features of the subject in the photo. All right? This is not just your photograph. It includes other identifiers such as how you walk.
Right.
Your gait.
Yeah.
The gait.
Not G-A-T-E, but G-A-I-T.
Right,
yes.
Your gait, because that's a biometric marker, because how you walk is unique to you.
That's right.
And it can be recorded and saved in a file, and then when they recognize that gait or that walking pattern someplace else, they can connect it to something.
So they don't even have to see your face. They can watch you walk away from them and still tell who you were.
FBI has access, because it's facial recognition and the states adopted facial recognition technology for their driver's licenses, that the FBI has direct link to the DMV databases within the states.
And all the other databases necessary for that purpose.
Fingerprints, et cetera. Yeah. Now, who got the...
Who were the four states? Does it say in that article who the four states were?
I'd have to go back here and read where it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got an early innovator grant to do that in Oklahoma. Do you think we got one of those?
Well, we have no worries, though. It says in 2008, the FBI released a privacy impact assessment summarizing its appraisal of controls in place to ensure compliance with federal privacy regulations.
Perfectly safe. Nothing to worry about
here. Nothing to worry about.
Move right along.
Do you think we're going into 2012, and I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are at political rallies. What a tool for the FBI to use.
Oh, absolutely. And they will, just like they're doing the scanning of the license plates. They did that at the fair, I understand. They were going by and harvesting cars that
hadn't been, exactly. Oh, and here's a guy in here named Patel.
Oh, interesting.
That name shows up a lot when you're talking technology.
Yeah, it does. We'll get back to him in a second. By the way, before we get, let's stay on subject, but We've talked about a lot of books during recent shows.
We
often mention those books in a way that you might have been driving down the road and not had a convenient opportunity to document the name of the book or the author. And so today we're going to try to do a brief segment in about maybe 5 or 10 more minutes that will list those books. And
we'll have to keep it for five because we've got 3 audios.
Oh, we
got to
hurry, yeah. Anyway, we want to give you an opportunity to write down some names of these books and wanted to give you some warnings, so find a piece of paper and a pen, and we'll get back to that in a second.
Or you could text it while you're driving.
We could, yeah.
Just kidding.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just kidding. Do not do that.
$50 fine for texting while you walk, I understand.
Such a bad influence. What's Broken Arrow going
to
do?
Broken Arrow, much to my delight, is about to issue another new bond.
Another one.
They set an all-time state record, I think, for this part of the country with a $295 million bond about 2 years ago.
Okay, Tulsa is in the northeast part
That's
of the state
right.
of Oklahoma. Broken Arrow is a
suburb.
It's the next town over.
Yes, and it's the second largest town in this county. And they issued a $295 million bond for the kids, and that passed.
Wasn't that 2 years ago?
It was in December-ish of something, about a year and a half, I think, is what it actually
Not
was.
Not
even 2 years ago. And they claim that this new $73.5 million is actually a clarification to improve the assignment or the designated purpose for some of those bond funds. Which is actually probably a good thing because we argued at the time that their justification for the bond was insane, that they had not given us a legitimate accounting for what they were going to do with it. But one of the primary things they said they were going to do is eliminate all the temporary buildings. Those are still in place, but some of the other things that we thought
were
less...
FEMA buildings?
They should have been. They probably will be before it's over. Anyway, here's the upshot is there's not a single sign on any street. There's not any advice on any newspaper that I've seen. They're keeping this election coming up day after tomorrow a very well-kept secret.
But I bet the teachers know about
the
it.
The teachers, I'll guarantee you, do know about it. And the one place I found, you can go on the web and track it down. You can actually go on the web and look up a sample ballot. And on that sample ballot, it doesn't say one word about the fact that this $73.5 million will be in place of part of that $295 million, but that's the way they're selling it. I think it's just going to be in addition to, which will impact our property taxes, even though they say it won't, because the...
It keeps the taxes high.
Well, the property evaluations have dropped, or at least have not risen as fast as their expectations were when they issued that gigantic bond issue.
Ah.
And so now we have to raise the rates in order to cover for the fact that the assessed values have not met expectations.
Are we doing it for the children?
We are. We really are. There's an editorial in the October 5th issue of the Broken Arrow Ledger. Editorial arguments in favor, of course, of this particular bond. One is by Wes Smithwick, who's the president of the Broken Arrow Chamber of Commerce, explaining why it's so good for our economy. And the second is by Mike Lester, who's the mayor of Broken Arrow, whose headline is "Vote Yes to Support the Kids." As we've proven repeatedly, and as Jenny White shared with us on a recent show, there's absolutely no correlation whatsoever to spending and the quality of education that kids get.
So vote no.
And we say vote no, but the really important part of today's message is, I assume a lot of our listeners are not in Broken Arrow and won't hear this in time to vote no on Tuesday, but you've got the same thing going on where you live too, I imagine.
And unadvertised elections that are going to raise your taxes.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
What's the American Minute? Let's have some good news, encouraging things. And what Don has recently done is bought out every single book ever written by William Federer.
No, I just got some good ones, though.
He got some good
ones, really did.
And he brought some here.
If you got your pen and paper handy, I want you to write down the following books. There's a book that Bill Federer has done, William J. Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R, called America's God and Country. It's an encyclopedia of quotations. It's a must-have. Next time somebody tells you that Thomas Jefferson wasn't really a Christian, none of these founders were really Christians, we weren't a Christian nation when we were founded, you need a book like this to see what they actually said over the years that disputes that. Another book that he wrote that I'm partway through, not finished yet, but really learning a lot from, is called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. This is really remarkable, and he starts out explaining chapter and verse why the Quran and its related documents in the Islamic scriptures are in direct conflict with our founding documents, such as the Constitution and the amendments. And it spells it out in clear and eye-opening language.
What's the next book, next Infidel? Book,
yeah, there you go. The next book that I got from Bill Federer is called Backfired. That's one word, B-A-C-K-F-I-R-E-D. The subtitle is A Nation Founded on Religious Tolerance No Longer Tolerates the Religion of Its Founders.
That would be interesting.
This is a splendid book, and you can get the theme of the book just by looking at the table of contents. He has a chapter called Tolerance for Puritans, and then Tolerance for Protestants, Tolerance for Catholics, Tolerance for New Liberal Christian Sects, Tolerance for All Christians, and then we start Tolerance for Jews, Tolerance for Monotheists, Tolerance for Polytheists and New Religions, Tolerance for Atheists and Anti-Religious, and then Tolerance Only for Politically Correct, and then the twist comes, and you start seeing how the whole thing backfires, and now there's no tolerance for anything anymore. And he has a great chapter called Freedom of, Not From, Religion that I really recommend to everybody. He's got another great book called The American Minute. If you wanted a one-minute devotional that is patriotically oriented, he's got one in here for every day of the week, every day of the year, and they're in here organized by date. The one for October 9th. Have we got enough time to read this? It'd take about a minute. What do you think? Probably not. Maybe next time I can read one for one of the. Yeah, we're going to run tight because we have.
Well, just
a lot
read
of other
the first day. Part.
Okay, it starts out. Lewis is his real name. Lewis Cass was born October 9, 1782, a brigadier general in the War of 1812. Lewis Cass was governor of the Michigan Territory, where he made Indian treaties, organized townships, and built roads. Goes on to talk about the other important positions that he held, and one of the things that he said was, independent of its connection with human destiny hereafter, the fate of a Republican government is indissolubly bound up with the fate of the Christian religion, and a people who reject its holy faith will find themselves the slaves of their own evil passions and of arbitrary power.
Now let's go back to that FBI to launch nationwide facial recognition, and you can see the abuse of power.
Absolutely.
In a country that's walked away from God.
And as Lord Acton said, power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And that's what we see. And it's human nature repeated over and over again.
Absolutely.
Because we're no longer bound by the chains of the Constitution.
While you're looking at books real quickly, I'll mention two others that we had as a recent guest. His name was Michael Kaufman. Dr. Kaufman, spelled C-O-F-F-M-A-N, has two books that I really recommend. One is a small, thin book called The Birth of World Government. Strongly recommend it. And another one is called Rescuing a Broken America.
I can always recommend him. Dr. Kaufman does outstanding research.
He does.
And he cares about this country.
Very well documented.
We have just a little bit left on this half of America in the Balance. And if you think things aren't changing, they are. I recently had the opportunity to attend a conference called, it was the 2011 summit of the Oklahoma Economic Development Council.
Right.
And it was their annual summit. And this one was entitled The New Oklahoma Economy, Global, Social, Sustainable, Strategic.
Sounds like a four-point sermon, doesn't it?
It does. Global, Social, Sustainable, Strategic. That's the new Oklahoma economy. So, of course, we had to attend and find that out, what that's about. And I can guarantee you, no matter where you live, that type of economic development summit took place in your state as well, to describe to the attendees what the new economy. And the new economy is going to be global in that it's going to involve more partnership with multinational corporations and more foreign direct investment in your state. So that's the global part.
That foreign direct investment they refer to so often that they just use initials for it most of the time now. So when you see it, exactly, FDI, know what that means.
Social means the use of social media by corporations and by government. And the social media is used as data aggregators to market a product and to decide who to market your product to. Now, remember, the social media is Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Flickr.
And some others.
And some others.
Right.
Those are the major ones.
Are
the major ones. Sustainable means that the technology is going to be advanced technology that uses no natural resources. It's going to be passive development in that it's based on technology, which means there's really, Don, very few people are going to be able to make a buck on this. The rest of the economy is going to be based, what jobs will be available will be people who are in the support service industry sectors to support the wealthy or who are in the green energy jobs, the clean energy sectors. Those are the ones that are going to be making money on an issue that doesn't really,
If you really wanted a job tomorrow, based on the information that they presented at this conference, I'd say there's really one piece of advice I can give you, and that's go get a job with the government, because we are now in the government job business, appears.
And that makes a successful economy, according to the Department of Commerce.
Pretty spooky.
And strategic means the use of public-private partnerships, now called strategic alliances. And we'll talk just a little bit about each one of them. All right. One of the first presenters was a tag team, two women from the Oklahoma Department of Commerce, and on the issue of foreign direct investment and these trade policies that do not favor American jobs and American production and American manufacturing, but actually favor the developing country or the other country. The question was asked, what about those jobs that have been lost, and what about those jobs that have been lost to China? And what the excerpt we're going to hear now, the audio, is the response of Erica Lucas, who is in the Global Business Division.
Global Business Services
at the Department of Commerce in Oklahoma. And this is her response to that person.
Just something else to add. When you look at the portfolio of jobs that have gone to China, Mexico, you have to really ask the question of whether we want those jobs back. Okay, we're talking about advanced manufacturing. I mean, what jobs, look at the portfolio of jobs that have left. And more than likely, those were not high-paid jobs, especially those that went to China. Now, I'm not saying that all of them were not. But, you know, because I do hear a lot of, you know, reverse investment. You know, a lot of the jobs are coming back from China. Are they the right type of jobs that we were hunting for? My opinion, they're not. So just something also to keep in mind.
Other questions? Yes, in the back, left. I'll repeat it.
Is the Department of Commerce actively pursuing foreign direct investment by Chinese?
Is the Department of Commerce actively pursuing FDI from China?
China.
We're open for investment from any country. You know, if I had a team of 20 people, absolutely, we would be in any country. Chinese investment, everybody here said it's on CNN, it's on every, newspaper out there, that they're investing a lot, that they have a lot of money. But when you look at the outflow of their investment, only 3% is coming to North America. 3% to North America. So we're lucky to get 1.5%. Now, having said that, there is a lot of interest from the Chinese to bring investment into the United States, especially in the renewable energy market. So we are focusing on targeting those companies in China. We have a trade office in China that does both trade and FDI. So yes, the answer would be yes, we are looking at it. It's not our primary market.
All right. The noise you heard in the back, the thumping, was me typing as she was writing.
A loud typist.
I am. I'm sorry. The recording is on the computer. I'm sorry. I have a little HP computer, so it records onto the computer, but I'm typing, so all the noise goes into the
It's the way it works, unfortunately,
Way it works, and I'm sorry I'm not a quieter typer. But the point is, yes, they're actively pursuing foreign direct investment. But, Don, did you hear the arrogance in the statement that the jobs that we lost to China weren't jobs that we were worth keeping anyway?
Exactly. Why are we even talking about it? Why are we asking about them?
If you look at the jobs portfolios that went. So now that is the attitude. From a person who's probably always had a position of privilege or has been on the government payroll for all of her career.
Never had to worry about her job.
No. And to make that statement, try telling that to the people that were feeding their families, that were clothing their families, that were putting their kids through schools on
paying
those
their
jobs.
Mortgage.
I remember when Zebco left.
That's right.
And those people had worked there for years. They were loyal, making a great product. Zebco was the fishing reels, made in America fishing reels, well respected.
Yep.
And they had to send the first, I think it was to Mexico to develop it, and then ultimately to China. So you can't get an American made reel like Zebco now because of it. Now, all those people would have loved to have kept their jobs.
Sure. And to demean them by saying those jobs weren't worth keeping in the first place is kind of a strange argument for them to take at the Department of Commerce, I think.
If you want to see the PowerPoint presentations that were presented at this conference, you can go to OEDC.net, OEDC.net, click on the economic development blog, the icon that's there, and you can see all the presentations. The next one I want to have you listen to is the one by a gentleman named Pish Patel, who runs a startup company called PL Studios, which is now worth $4.3 million. And it is part of this new economy, which has to do with these high-tech companies that this guy claims to have started with $54. He's a young guy. I mean, we could be his dad, his parents, but $54. But he goes on to say, of course, he had 39 computers running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in an incubator facility where he didn't have to pay the electricity, the overhead. He didn't have to pay for the lawyer that was available to him any time. And he was getting consultations and mentoring free of charge.
Right.
So he claims he started it with $54 million in an incubator program, but he did not.
Right.
He started it in an unfair way. But he's talking about an application called Pigeon Me, which is a free app, app that he's put out there for the iPhone for people to pick up. And let's see, in his discussion was how he monetized that. Okay.
Right. So a lot of people ask, how do you monetize a free app? And it's just like what Chris and I were talking about, you have to think differently in this new economy. I could hustle this app in the App Store for 99 cents and maybe make 20 grand, you know, nothing crazy. This is where we had our usage after the first 2.5 weeks. And this was no marketing, no word of mouth. This was just strictly put it out in the App Store, upload a Facebook post, get a website started, and let people start following. Now there's a viral component to this app. The app can't work by itself. Right? You go into the place that's no different than you just looking it up on a map. You have to send it to somebody. So then that person has to pay it, and then you should send it to somebody. And so that little spot right there in Oklahoma City quickly spread out all over the United States, and now it's getting ready to be an international app, so you can do it anywhere in the world. So the fascinating thing here is people will constantly ask, well, how are we going to make money off of this? Are you going to make it big and sell it? Yeah, we're going to make it big and sell it. I'm going to try that exercise. But the reality of it here is we collect information anonymously through this app that has way more value than 99 cents to allow you to use. So think about it. By using this app, you tell the service provider what you think, where you're going, what time you're going, how far you're traveling, who you're going with, how far they travel. That demographic data, nobody else is collecting it. Facebook is collecting it after you get there. So I check in after I get something. But this is to tell where. Now, where would this be useful? Things like Groupon, where if you're checking in someplace three more times, you can offer a special deal. I'm not going to build that system. That system's already out there, so we should go and drop it in. At some point, it makes a perfect acquisition for it. So I think that's kind of the key, right? Is you probably have so many people in your community who are thinking differently, but they don't fit the standard model of Entrepreneur 1.0. And I think just to be open to hearing other ideas and other ways of doing things could be a fascinating move.
All right, we're just about over with, but you understand what he said is that that free app, if he sold it for 99 cents a download, he would have made about $20,000. Right. But because he's allowing the public who downloads that application connect and market his product, and he's not paying them
right.
to be the marketer, promoter of his free product, once it reaches 100,000 people, then he starts to scrape the data, aggregate that data, packages it, and sells it.
Exactly.
So he will make millions of dollars on a free application that you helped him make millions of.
Exactly.
On. All right, we've only got a few minutes left. But
nothing like surveilling yourself, huh?
Not, and you're volunteering for it, and because it's a cute little icon that looks like a cartoon pigeon with the little head goggles on, and then you can watch all your friends fly in to meet you at the designated place. It's a data aggregator, which is really a tracking tool. Now, if he's doing this, the government is doing this.
Sure.
Counties are doing this. Municipalities are doing it. The state government is doing it. And so it's a hard thing, Don, to convince young people not to buy into this stuff.
You have to look below the surface. There's more to it than meets the eye.
Right. And it is... more to it than meeting the eye. And I tell my son, if you don't want me to know where you are, why are you telling everybody else where you are? If you resent having your mother's like,
there
this is
go.
Really a much, this is big mother that you don't really want to do
there
the
go.
Kind of tracking. We're ready to, I think that's the conclusion of this
I
show. We have some
done.
More audio, but that's enough for today. We want to thank our listeners for tuning in once again, and we'd like to end, Don, as we always do, is that may God bless you. We have a country worth fighting for. And
get off the couch and join the battle.
It is. And first, be on your knees to God and
absolutely.
Pray for repentance
absolutely.
In this country. God bless you. Bye-bye.